Good morning. In this gospel that we just heard, the Pharisees are trying to trip up our Lord. And this is nothing new. And of course, last Sunday, Sunday before that, and as we've been working through Matthew's gospel here, the Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees, the scholars of the law, the learned religious officials of their day, are trying to trip up our Lord. They're trying to get him to say something that they can then later on use against him. And even, you know, this gospel here today begins with when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees. Well, that silencing of the Sadducees happened just a few verses beforehand, right after last Sunday's gospel. You can read that at home if you'd like. And it was the same deal. The Sadducees came to him previously and tried to ask him a question that they knew no matter what he said, they'd be able to kind of use his answer to trip him up. And so now it's the Pharisees' turn. And it says, the Pharisees come to him and they say, "Teacher." Now, let's just stop right there. They're not really admiring him. They're not really trying to compliment him. They're kind of using this almost mockingly. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" Now let's stop again here, because whenever you hear that expression, "the law," there's something very specific being referred to. In the Old Testament, which of course was the only part of the Bible that existed back in our Lord's day before the New Testament was written, the Old Testament has three main parts. There's the Torah, which is the first five books of the Bible, and collectively, the Torah is also referred to as the Law. And then there are the Prophets, that's the second section. It talks about calling the people back to observe the Law. And then the third section is simply called the Writings, and includes historical books and other books about the Writings, who were calling, about the Prophets, who were calling people to the Law. So that, kind of think of like three concentric circles here. You have the Law, the Torah, the Prophets, and then the Writings. And so they're asking him something very specific here. They're saying, which commandment in the law is the greatest? And if you actually go through those first five books of the Bible, the Torah, there are 613 laws. You think the Catholic Church has a lot of rules? Read the Torah. 613 things that you either couldn't do or had to do, certain animals you had to sacrifice on certain feast days, certain things you had to eat or couldn't eat or whatever. 613 total. So they're trying to trip him up here because they know, or they think at least, that should he answer their question and he pick one of these 613 or another, that they could say, "Well, what about this one or that one, or why is it this one greater?" Or, you know, they had 612 others to choose from. And so instead of kind of giving into that and just to kind of throw it right back at them, he summarizes this and he says, the greatest commandment, the first and greatest commandment, he said, is to love the Lord your God with your whole being, with your whole heart, your whole soul, your whole mind. That's the first and the greatest commandment. And then after that, he says, the second, not on par with the first, the second commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. You know, something that I always find myself telling people when they come to ask for advice or they're complaining about a relationship, you know, my husband doesn't listen or my wife is always talking or my children think that they know everything or whatever. Family members, friends, whenever people come and they complain about some kind of relationship they're having, what I always tell them is I say, well, you know what the best thing you can do to work on that relationship? So the best thing you can do to work on any relationship with anyone else, as counterintuitive as this might sound, is to work on your relationship with God. As your relationship with God gets better, so too will all of your other relationships. Not right away, of course, but over time. Why? Because your relationship with God really has to be first. Christ himself tells us this today. And let me say something, too, about this. What that means, just to kind of hash this out, this does mean, yes, in case you're wondering, that we do need to put God above people whom we otherwise might not think so. People say, well, even my kids, I'm supposed to put my relationship with God above that of my kids? Yes. I'm supposed to put my relationship with God above my relationship with my spouse? Yes. That's the good news. That's the good news, and it's not easy, but our Lord is saying this is how all of those other relationships are going to be better. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, if you do give God the highest priority in your life, if you do put your relationship with God above every other relationship, then far from taking away from those other relationships, He will actually further enrich them. You will actually be able to be a better spouse, parent, son or daughter, sibling, friend, family member, than you would be if you were to try to put them first and put God second or third or fourth. So we need to give God the first place, the highest priority. But let's dissect the second part here. The second commandment after the first and greatest commandment, he says, is to love your neighbor as yourself. Now the first thing that has to be said about that is we need to love ourselves. Now, of course, we don't want to fall into the trap of pride or vanity. We don't want ordinate love of self, but we should have an ordinate love of self. We should love the fact that God gave us life. We should love that life. We should love the graces that He's given us. We should love the particular vocation to which He has called each and every one of us, the fact that there is no one like us, and there never has been, and there never will be. That's an ordinate love of self. That's the type of love of self that we should have. And once we have that love of self, then we are called to love our neighbors in that same way. And that's what we heard in Exodus, in that first reading from Exodus, about how to treat our neighbors. And he got very specific. Do not oppress the alien. Do not mistreat the widow or the orphan. So, and let me say something else here, too. Let's go back to that 613, right? I often hear, as I'm sure some of you do too, as I kind of joked earlier, that, you know, Catholic Church has all those rules, you know, and sometimes people think that God and the Church tells us to do these things just because they know that we're not going to be able to do it all, and they're just trying to trip us up. They want to see us fail. They want us to feel bad. They want to try to deprive us of certain pleasures in this life, and that's the real reason why God and the Church have all those rules. Well, brothers and sisters, yes, we do have rules. God and the Church, His holy bride, has given us all sorts of rules. But they're for our own good. God tells us to do certain things and to not do certain things because He knows what's good for us. He knows what's good for us better than what we think is good for us. And He has called us to a supernatural vocation, and He wants us to get there. So when God tells us, for instance, to come to Mass every Sunday, we do that, we should do that, not out of a sense of obligation, although if that's what gets you there, that's a good start, but we should do that out of love. That's the first and greatest commandment, to love God, and the second commandment, to love neighbor as ourselves. So what this means is all of the rules the Catholic Church has, all those things that we say you can't do or have to do, can be summarized by love. If we truly love God with our whole being and our neighbor as ourselves, then we're going to go to Mass on Sunday, not because we have to, but because we want to, because we want to be in communion with God and with our brothers and sisters. If we love God with our whole being and our neighbors as ourselves, then we're not going to abort our unborn children. We're not going to contracept future children out of existence. We're not going to put people to death. We're not going to kill embryos to harvest stem cells. We're not going to do all sorts of these other things, not out of a sense of rules, but because we love the Lord our God with our whole being and our neighbor as ourselves. So perhaps today and this week, throughout the week, we can look at our lives and ask ourselves, how have I prioritized my relationships? Is my relationship with God number one? And if not, why not? And what can I do to make it number one? What can I do to make my relationship with God number one so that I can be a better everything else to all of those other people with whom I have relationships? Let's pray for that today. And let's also pray that we may recognize and that we may develop an ordinate love of self, that we may have a proper love of self so that we can then share that love with our neighbors.